Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a getaway Friday, October 21st, 2022. 11 and a half minutes past the hour, and as many of you know, election season is upon us in a big way. Election day this year will be Tuesday, November the 8th, and I do want to remind everybody we will have live election coverage here on this station nonstop starting that night at 7:10 p.m., and we will go until all of the races are called. We have some levies here in Marion, and of course, we have the county commissioner race. We have the governor's race in the state. Our mayor is running for state treasurer. And we have the big Senate race going on in the state. So a lot of things to keep an eye on election night. And we'll have a lot of call-ins and things going on that night. But as I said, the really only race this election cycle going on here in Marion locally is the county commissioner race. A few weeks ago, we had the Democratic contender for that, Kathy Masters, on the program. And we're glad this hour to have back to the program, it's been a while, the Republican candidate for that particular position, County Commissioner Dr. Mark Davis. Dr. Davis, how are you?
Good morning, Scott.
Good to see you. Here we are, what, 18, 19 days out. How's it feel?
It feels great. There was a period right after the primary where I kind of needed maybe 2 weeks of rest. I'd worked pretty hard in the primary, busy every day, meeting people. Just looking back, conducted like a grassroots campaign. Took a lot of people out for coffee, had lunch with a lot of people, tried to make the right contacts with people that I needed to get to know better here in Marion, and fortunately made it through the primary, the first primary we had here. The second one in August didn't affect me, but it was kind of a weird year for the voters to have two primaries, but I kind of got back in the election swing and the campaign cycle July 4th when the county fair started. I kind of set that date as, Mark, you're going to be back campaigning again for commissioner for the general election. So I've been going strong since July 4th, Scott.
Now, what has it been like? Because it is a rarity. This is the one-off year that we have in four where there are few races, but I can't remember a time when there hasn't been another race. The county prosecutor, that's been offset by certain circumstances where it's not the same year right now. They're figuring that out. But to just have one local race, usually you're out campaigning with other people.
Right.
What's that been like?
It's been different. For example, at the fair, the Republicans had a tent. The Democrats did not. Come to the popcorn festival, vice versa. The Democrats had a tent that was staffed by campaign staff, and the Republicans opted not to have a tent. We did a float in the parade, so I think it's kind of changed things. I don't want to say the level of interest is down within the parties, but certainly I don't think the donations have poured in for the Democrats or the Republicans this year. I think, you know, we probably need a little bit more robust preparation, and our campaign chairs probably need to be a little bit more aggressive is, I guess, the right word as far as, supporting even a single candidate like myself who's running for a fairly important, office here in the county, as is, Kathy on the Democratic side. I think there just needs to be more support from the local parties, and It's like every organization, you know, political parties are just like every organization. Membership can kind of wax and wane. People get fired up about a candidate or an issue. Certainly back in 2016, 2020, you know, everybody was like on the Trump bandwagon. Now, you know, we're going to wait and see what happens in 24, but hopefully there will be some a little bit more enthusiasm coming back into the party.
What do you see voter turnout being like in this county? Now, in the state, it might be bigger because we do have that Senate race people are highly interested in, and that might drive some votes here in Marion County as well. Also, the mayor running for a state office might drive some votes, and the governor's race might drive some votes. But in general, when you only have one local race, I mean, we do have some levies that are getting some attention.
Yes.
But do you think voter turnout's going to be even on average with what it was 4 years ago?
Great question, Scott, and that was something that was on my mind just a little bit earlier. Before I drove in here, I got a text from my neighbor, and he said, what more can I do to help support you? And I said, pick a day and call, text your family, your friends, and then get them to do the same thing and make sure that we just exponentially expand the people that are aware that they've got to get to the polls and vote. My concern, and I'll give you my prediction on turnout, but my concern is that, you know, people have pledged their vote to me. They said, Mark, we support you, we like you, but they got to get to the ballot. They got to early vote, or they got to get there on November 8th and actually cast their vote for it to count. So based on my conversations with Board of Elections, people like Brian Blair, Cindy Price, they're estimating like 50% turnout. You know, I haven't really gone back and scrubbed the history to see in years like this what the turnout's been, but I think I would feel pretty good if it was 50%.
50% of registered voters?
Yes, yes. I would feel pretty good if that happened. Honestly, as I've been out campaigning, going door to door, you still find a little bit of voter apathy. And I don't think it's like a post-COVID phenomenon. I think it existed before that. A lot of people feel disenfranchised from, quote, the system. You know, I think there's some skepticism of whoever's in office, whether it be a Republican or Democrat. Am I getting my money's worth with the tax dollars I'm paying? You know, there's some people hurting in Marion. So, you know, do they feel that going to vote will make a difference in their individual life? Unfortunately, the answer is no. And I think we touched on this when I was here before. Unfortunately, a lot of the individuals I made contact with didn't know one of the county commissioners or didn't even really know who their councilman was for their ward in the city. And obviously, I'd like to see that changed. I'd like to see a more engaged electorate. But also, I think that politicians like myself, leaders like myself, need to bear some of that responsibility too, and be certain that we're communicating via any one of a number of mediums that we are doing things. There is activity. There's resolutions being passed. There's, you know, the sausage is being ground up and made up at 222 West Center Street. Over the last couple of months, I have been going to commissioners' meetings, just observing, sitting, kind of watching what potentially I could be doing after January 1st. And it's an interesting process. And attendance is not great. Usually the parties in attendance at the commissioners' meetings are those that have business before the body that day, or maybe they're there for a proclamation and a photo opportunity. But as far as like just individuals in the general public coming in wanting to know what their government's up to, I don't see that happening, Scott.
Well, and I think this might be, and this is what I hear from people when it comes to the parties locally, because there definitely is a split that did not used to be there. We've always had Republican and Democratic candidates in Marion, but the party itself, it wasn't a strong line. And I think what I'm hearing from people is, as you said, when I started in radio here in Marion, one of my jobs was to cover county commissioners. You two meetings a week, they might have lasted 20 minutes, and you might have had 20 people there on a good day. City council, I was at a city council meeting a month ago, and there might have been 40 people there, maybe. Now, that's 40 people in a city of 35,000. So what you get is what you read in the paper, what you hear on radio, what you hear from somebody else. And what we hear is that, and what we do see when we look at the votes, are that the Republicans are over here on an issue, and the Democrats are over here on an issue. And even our voting since 2016, if you look at the voting charts, whatever the statewide candidate gets, be it Republican or Democrat, that's what the local candidate gets.
Right.
Why is that now?
Well, it's an interesting topic, and I've kind of experienced this a little bit on the campaign trail. For example, I go up to a door, and they say hello. You know, I tell them I'm out campaigning, and right off the bat, it's like, if you're a Republican, I'm voting for you. You've got my vote. And sure, I'm happy to have that vote, but they know nothing about me, Scott. They didn't look at my resume. They didn't look at, well, what have you done to serve Marion before? You know, they may not be aware that I was in private practice as a physician, that I was the county coroner, that I've done volunteer work with multiple different organizations, but just that label, Republican, sold the deal. Vice versa. I had a guy the other day, he said, do you support Trump? And it kind of caught me off guard, because it's like, well, is he talking about what he's going through with the recent FBI investigation at Mar-a-Lago? Is he referencing the election that was contested, or is he looking forward to 24? And I just said, sure, I'll give Trump my support. And he says, well, that's it. I'm not voting for you.
You know.
So everybody has got something that's important to them. And I think in the broader sense, the culture that we live in loves to use what I call labels. It kind of alleviates our need to critical think and make and put deeper thought into individuals, into groups. It's easy to label people, whether you're using politics, race, sex, ethnicity, education level, city versus county resident. You know, there's, I think, some simplicity of mind to labeling. And you're right, it is kind of set on the local political level that people are that vehemently like, oh, I could only support a Republican or I could only support a Democrat. It really should be the best person that's for that office that's going to do the best job for the county.
When it comes to the party itself, the Republican Party, how involved are you in the party, the meetings, so on and so forth?
Well, I was kind of late to the party as far as, you know, when I retired from my private practice in 2020, I said, okay, now's the time for me to do what I always wanted to do and get involved with the Republican Party. Well, at the time, Bob Schultz was the chairman, and he had a vacancy for treasurer. And pretty much the first meeting, I thought, am I getting duped here? Because there's a whole group of people here that could be treasurer, but they're going to give it to the new guy. Is this like a... Because I've been in situations like that. When you're late to the first meeting, you've already been elected to a position and you've got to do the work. But it ended up being a very, very good thing because by being the treasurer for almost 3 years, I got to learn pretty much everything about the party, all the individuals. I learned everyone's name right away. When we had fundraising events, you know, I was the one getting their checks, getting their credit cards, collecting the cash. You get to know people when you deal with their money. So obviously it got me to know the different officers within the party, but I've been pretty regularly attending all the Republican events, our meetings. We have guest speakers. If there's an elected representative at the state or national level that comes to Marion, I've had the opportunity to meet them. And I'm kind of using that as preparation for commissioner, too, knowing our state senator, our state representative, our U.S. congressman. I've got to think eventually somewhere down the line that those contacts will mean something. Even if they can't do what I want them to do, maybe they can point me in the right direction.
you had an interesting road to this position. You ran against a longtime incumbent, Ken Stiverson, who is still there, but is not the candidate because you defeated him in the primary. It was a three-way primary. Jason Schauber, city councilman, was in that as well. Did that cause any friction at the time in the party, and has that healed since then?
I kind of got a sense that it did cause some hurt feelings or friction. It was certainly unprecedented. And I think maybe there was like an unwritten rule in some individual's mind that you don't primary a sitting elected official unless there's a pretty daggone good reason to do that. And, you know, I think we touched on this before. Mr. Stiverson and myself, we had maybe three or four conversations before I actually turned my petitions in at the Board of Elections to run. And I said, you know, this is absolutely nothing personal. This is not an indictment on your record. It's just a timing thing for me personally, Scott. I just felt like I really needed this as far as something to sink my teeth into. I'm an empty nester now with both of my kids in college. But I think any kind of hurt, any kind of angst, I think it has been healed to a great extent just because I think people have gotten to know me a whole lot better. They've seen that I'm a worker, that I'll volunteer, that I'll pitch in, that I'll contribute to the party or whatever event is happening. And I feel like I've gotten very, very good support, even from Ken Stiverson, as far as like some coaching tips and some, you know, always willing to answer a question. If I don't know where something's coming from, I feel like I could ask any of the current commissioners to point me in the right direction.
You know, it's an interesting position to be in, a Republican in Marion. Now, a lot of people would say it's a good position because we have elected very few Democrats in the last 5 years. I think the only Democrats who have won have been the mayor and Democrats who were unopposed. So that's a very good position to be in. But when you're running for county commissioner, it's also a difficult position to be in because they're all Republican. So if you're criticizing or saying this needs to be changed,
yes,
you're criticizing somebody in your own party.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. How do you deal with that?
That's where you really learn to become the politician. Because, you know, I've got some ideas about things that I would like to change. And then you start learning some facts like the Ohio Revised Code and what things you can really do and what powers you have. And it's like, oh, I guess I really can't go in the first day and sign executive orders and change this thing and that thing. There's a process and there's limitations on the law. But I think what you can do is you can be a tremendous influencer and you can be a tremendous instrument of change just by building relationships, enabling conversations to take place. Like I'll just give you a real quick example. I've had so many people come to me and I've been so frustrated by the trains blocking the roadways here in Marion. And it doesn't take you long to get online and learn that this is happening all over the state of Ohio. It's happening down in Union County, Butler County. A lot of people are making some noise. State of Oklahoma, they took a case all the way to the United States Supreme Court. So what I did was I started educating myself, talking with really some very nice people with CSX Railroad that explained to me that this goes all the way back to the founding of the railroads. When the government said, yes, we want a railroad to run from the East Coast to the West Coast, they gave those guys tremendous rights and tremendous rights to really do what they want, to get merchandise and product from one place to another. And there are ways to mitigate bad situations, bad crossings, but to say that there's a solution would be really a dishonest statement.
So at this point, if elected, first day in office, what are the things that are important to you that you feel you can change at this point?
I think one of the areas that, I don't know if it's number one, but I've already started a conversation with several of my friends on city council. And where there are opportunities for county government and city government to work together, I think that needs to happen. admittedly, you know, I've talked to the mayor, I've talked to our current commissioners. There hasn't been a great deal of communications or what I call bonding experiences where you really get to know someone better and understand where they're coming from. Good example is I went to my first land bank meeting and I kind of saw the different personalities at the land bank, and I think they are making forward progress, but it's been suggested to me from several in the community that we're not moving fast enough on removing the blight from this, both the city and the county. I think there's opportunities for the commissioners to influence the land bank in a positive way. I want to support the prosecutor's office and the treasurer's office because those are really the two key elected offices that help collect the delinquent taxes and get these properties foreclosed. But I think there's an opportunity to add members to the land bank, and those can be from the private sector, Scott. I think the law allows individuals who are expert level in real estate, banking, or the construction trades to be involved. And if there's a way that government can work with the private sector, I'm 100% for it. And as just like a sidebar to that, I'm also all about faith-based initiatives. I love the whole notion that government and faith-based organizations can do something to make people's lives better.
You are running against Kathy Masters. We had her on the show a couple weeks ago. You had one, I guess they're called forums now.
Yes.
I believe with her, where it was just you and her. The League of Women Voters did something different this year in how they did their event. How did you find that forum with Kathy, and what are the differences for people listening who haven't voted yet?
Well, that was it was kind of a, I don't want to say a weird form, but it was a little sterile. You know, there wasn't a live audience. There were individuals who you know, prepared questions ahead of time. I actually talked to Kathy Masters afterwards, and neither one of us felt like we had a great, you know, performance. Like, wow, I really killed that. You know, you didn't walk away with that kind of a feeling. And we also felt like you know, we didn't really do a great job kind of distinguishing ourselves. By nature, you know, I grew up like as an introvert, and now I've kind of evolved into more of an extroverted personality, or at least someone that knows how to turn that part of your personality on and use it to a good advantage. So I don't think either one of us really distinguished ourselves. I didn't even provide a link on my Facebook page to the forum. I think Kathy did. I don't know how many people ended up listening to it. You know, Paul James thought, you know, maybe there were 6,500 people that would listen to it, but that would absolutely shock me if 6,500 people, you know, listen to that, Scott. You know, I you always look back and you think, oh gosh, I wish I would have talked about that, or I wish I would have told people that, remember, I was the county coroner, or that I volunteered with my church, or that I used to be a volunteer firefighter. In the moment, you just kind of freeze. And part of it, I think, both to my credit and also my opponent's credit, you know, we're both humble people. We're not boastful. You know, I've gotten to know Kathy. I actually like her. We've talked it. We end up at all the same events, you know, whether it's the Waldo Summer Festival, the Orang Bang in LaRue. We're going to run into each other, so we've talked about the campaign and things that we both have kind of shared in common and had a couple of laughs about it. Most recent conversation was about all the signs everywhere and who puts the signs up and how close are you getting to my sign. And but we have a good understanding that if she has any complaints with me or my campaign staff, she's got my cell number, and vice versa. She was very gracious and invited me to call her if there was anything being done that, you know, wasn't to my liking. Cause, but just as far as that goes, it's been a very, very good spirited campaign. No, absolutely zero mudslinging whatsoever. Just me trying to get my message out, and I think Kathy getting her message out.
So what would you say are the differences between you two?
Well, I think, you know, I don't, like I said during the forum. I don't know everything that she's currently doing. It looked to me like a lot of her accomplishments and victories were like historical, whereas I think you can kind of see that I'm still, even now, very actively involved in the community through volunteer organizations, whether it's picking up trash, helping a church out, helping with the recovery down in Fort Myers. I mean, I still, want to be involved actively, in the community, not afraid to roll my sleeves up, get my hands dirty, work up a sweat. I just recently started volunteering with the Grace Clinic, which is a small medical group here in Marion that's meeting in the Leaping Ministries building. And that was good for me because I hadn't touched a stethoscope for 2 years, Scott. I hadn't practiced medicine for 2 years, so it was good that I kept my license and was still able to volunteer in that free clinic environment. But obviously, I'm passionate about the opioid crisis. I'm 100% for law enforcement. And I've tried to show that support. Saturday, I plan on going to an event that honors Brandy Winfield out at the FOP. I was very humbled to get their endorsement this year as a candidate. I think what distinguishes myself is that I'm still actively getting out into the community, laying hands, and I'm not sure about my opponent, what her level of activity is along those lines. But we all do good things for people. I think that's the motivation really inside both of us that makes us want to run for commissioner, is there's really a desire to make the lives of the citizens of Marion better and to move this economy forward. You've got to have, let's face it, everything has a price tag on it, and you've got to be able to acquire the money, get the money, or bring the talent in that knows how to do that, Scott.
I hear from a lot of people, and I've heard this for years and years now, that when it comes to Marion, there is a lot of red tape that has just been on the books for years. And even when you ask the people, the politicians, why is it? Well, the answer seems to come back, well, that's just the way it's always been. I know a few years ago, a guy who was running, wanted to run a pro wrestling event in Marion, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And it's still treated in Marion by the Boxing and Wrestling Commission, and pro wrestling is a show we all know now, but that's the way it was set up. And nothing seems to change, and the red tape is there.
Right.
Yeah.
I used to get so excited when I heard the phrase "free Paperwork Reduction Act." I thought, wow, let's run with that. And I think we've probably reduced the paper, but it's all online now. Whatever we used to do on paper is now multiple pages on a computer screen. But one area very closely related to that, as far as red tape, and I'm not trying to really pick on any particular group, but we need so much more out of our utility companies. We need responsiveness from electric, cable, cellular. When I was in private practice, we were right across the street from the Smith Clinic, not a remote location, not a isolated village somewhere. But I remember there was a new cable that we needed installed into the building in order for us to communicate effectively with Ohio Health via the computers, because we could get lab results, imaging results, physician records, electronically right onto our computer. And it literally took, I guess I'll call out a name, Frontier. It took them, over 6 months to get that installed into the office. And, when you're a small business and you're trying to, move the ball forward, move and survive, it's sometimes just little things can break your back. Sadly, I was just picking up my dry cleaning the other day over here at Kimmel Cleaners, and there was a sign that said our last day in business will be October 28th. Now, none of the ownership was there, but I asked the people on duty what happened, and they kind of said that the business never came back after COVID, after the pandemic. And I'd really like to talk with the people that run that place, and I may run up to Upper Sandusky and actually speak with them, because, I think for us to do like a little bit of a, what I call a post-mortem on why people leave here, especially long, long-established businesses, why they would leave here. I was upset that the Coney Island place was leaving. You know, I enjoyed going there a few times. I was in there with my girlfriend. I took my son there. He was home on a weekend from college. We sat out on the patio. It was a very nice experience. But, you know, it's very difficult on small businesses to survive. And any kind of red tape that either the government or the utility companies or vendors, we've got to have the vendors here to support small businesses too.
It's a very interesting thing that you bring this up, because I remember years ago there used to be a person who would say to me, and they were not involved in politics, but they would try to do things in the community. They tried to do charity events. They tried to do bus tours at Christmas and things that would really promote community spirit.
Yeah.
And they always said you could never get it done because the people in Marion, the person who controlled the pencils would not talk to the person who controlled the erasers. And that was his analogy of what the problem was, that they sound like they're all for it,
right.
But they give you could not possibly get it done on a charity budget or a donation budget with the roadblocks that they've set up in front of you.
Yeah, and I know there's organizations that try to do good, but they struggle, and when you take a deeper dive, you look, hey, they've lost some key staff, or they've lost volunteers. Admittedly, I don't think I'm the only one that would say this, is sometimes there's some frustration with the Popcorn Festival Committee, filling out forms, meeting deadlines, making payments, trying to get an entry into the parade, discovering there's rules that you didn't even know existed. Like this year, I wanted to be in the parade as a candidate, and they weren't allowing individual candidates to be in the parade. So we did some scrambling, and we changed the entry to a Republican Party entry, and then myself and then some other Republican candidates were able to be on the entry. But I think there's frustrations like that that exist. And then all the time, not just the red tape, but the price tag for everything keeps escalating. You know, I don't want to misspeak, but I think, you know, we've seen a substantial increase at the county fair on what we have to pay for our space at the fair. And then certainly if we would have had a tent at the Popcorn Festival, I think some people thought it was cost prohibitive just for one local candidate. Yours truly, they just thought, you know, maybe you can just work the crowd, you know, versus having like a stationary place for such a high price tag. So there is a danger in overpricing things here in Marion, and kind of end up hurting ourselves. You know, trying to do the right thing, but yet it's a deterrent.
It's very interesting because in Marion we will say that either it's not an exclusive Marion problem or it is an exclusive Marion problem. And in a direct, 20 miles up the road, we have the Bratwurst Festival. Now, I know many groups from Marion go to the Bratwurst Festival to participate because it's not that far away. Businesses do it. Media does it. It's just close. And 99% of the people will tell you, from Marion, it's easier to deal with the Bratwurst Festival than it is with the Popcorn Festival. And yeah. You will hear that.
Yeah, we've got to work on that. We've got to make every effort to make this community inviting. And then, you know, I went through this in my previous career. You would recruit some, you know, very good talent to come to Marion, and then you've got to work really hard on retention. I've had this conversation with the hospital. They used to have a vice presidential level individual there that did nothing but physician relations. Not that I just want to, you know, focus on only retaining and recruiting physicians, but they would send like the spouses flowers on their birthday, and they were on top of those type of things that meant something to people. How do you win hearts and minds and make people feel welcome? And it can be as simple as getting flowers from an organization on your birthday. These small acts of kindness really can make a community very endearing to people. So I think there's probably a need for a lot of our organizations to focus on retention, We're losing a lot of our smartest kids out of schools here. Like I think I talked before, both my kids have told me they're not coming back to Marion, which is a shame. Now some people can't come back here because there may not be a job for them. Whatever, if you're wanting to be an aeronautical engineer, you know, probably, you know, not coming back to Marion. St. Louis would be a better location. But there are people that we do want to retain. And just real quick as a sidebar, one issue that I'm currently working on with one of the commissioners is this whole issue of why are our high school kids not going into public safety careers? Police, fire, EMS, and especially private EMS needs workers like you wouldn't believe. Ambulance services to transport patients. But what I found out is the guidance counselors weren't necessarily promoting these. They weren't having career days. I remember being in school, we'd have people from all different walks of life and disciplines come in and kind of explain what they did for a living or what their career was about. Now, it's still, even though we give a lot of mention to the trades, to the Tri-Rivers Career Center, for my kids, at least, from freshman year on, it was like, what college are you going to? What college? There was never any discussion about alternatives to 4 years of undergraduate education in college. And right now, you know, I've talked to the fire chief. They used to have a couple hundred people sit for the test to be a firefighter. Now it's like 24. MPD need police officers. And then certainly the private EMS could use a lot more EMS workers. But again, you know, this is a national problem. It's not necessarily unique to Marion, but we need to make it happen here in Marion. We need kids that graduate from Ridgedale, Elgin, Pleasant, River Valley, Harding to go into public safety.
You know, it's very interesting. I don't think I've looked at the new census, but Marion's median income was rather low. In the 20,000s, maybe if two people were in the 30,000s. And you look at our entertainment that you could actually drive to in Marion, aside from the popcorn festival and the fair, and it would be the Palace Theater, it would be the thing the colleges are doing. If you look at ticket prices, how in the world would you take a family of four, if your income is $30,000 a year, to any event there, and you can go to those events, and you will see the same people at all those events?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, you look at the county fair, you know, paying the price to get in, getting the kids the ride tickets or the wrist bracelets for the rides, couple lemon shakes, couple gyros, and you've spent a significant amount of money, and you've only been there for about, you know, 15 minutes. So it's something we really gotta take a look at. And I've been asked that question quite a few times about how do we get maybe more on state average or national average for household median income. And I've got all kinds of thoughts and suggestions on that. Most of them are well outside the scope of the commissioner's office, but the things I support are education, mentorships. We need to support what we have here in Marion, but it has to be worthy of our support. It has to be a great service at a fair price. It can't be an elevated price just because it's a unique service that can only be provided. I think there's some people doing business here in Marion that really need to look at their profit margin and get it in line with what's a reasonable profit margin. There are some inflated cost of doing business here in Marion.
One thing, and this will be an issue for the commissioners, I believe, at some point. We have this Del Taco out here that is going to open up at some point. We don't know when, but it's going to open up. Now, anybody who drives Mount Vernon Avenue knows that the county begins at Perkins, right there. So Del Taco, I believe, is technically in the county. When that opens up, when the grand opening happens, we can see how much room there's going to be there for a drive-through.
Mm-hmm.
We also know how businesses are when they open. They're packed. You cannot turn right out of Wendy's. When that opens and Wendy's is open and you got one street light and Perkins is open and Del Taco is overwhelmed by the business. Is anybody prepared for that, I wonder? Have the commissioners talked about it?
That's a great question, Scott. And I know exactly what you mean because I've seen that phenomenon happen at any new business that goes into Marion. To my knowledge, no. The answer is no. I don't think there's been any thought about that. I would probably need to maybe defer to the sheriff or I would like that to be like a little bit more of a focus of our law enforcement is traffic and you know I've kind of pinpointed some streets that I feel are unsafe. Just spend some time on East Center Street walking towards town, and it's a racetrack. It's an absolute racetrack. I'm now on this downtown Marion group that's trying to make downtown better, and I've suggested let's think, you know, big. Let's think really, really big. Not just the next building we're going to sandblast and repurpose, but let's think, do we need two-way traffic on Center Street?
Oh, that's the big one. That's the big conversation.
Do we need two-way traffic on Church Street? You know, I'd like to ask the listeners to think of a beautiful community that you've been to someplace in Ohio, maybe Myrtle Beach, out of state, someplace that you've gone, Gatlinburg, that's been a beautiful streetscape and a wonderful experience. And Frankenmuth, Michigan's another example, all two-way traffic. There's just something that's pleasing to the eye. It definitely slows traffic down, in my opinion, and it provides what I call the streetscape that I think what the downtown Marion merchants and all those individuals are looking for is, you know, they want people to notice their businesses, their establishments, come in, spend some money. And then, you know, we got to look at our exits off of 23. These are not attractive exits. We need to clean them up. We got to get with ODOT or whoever and get these things cleaned up. We want to make people pull off in Marion and say, that was worth the stop. I'll stop back here on my way back up to Toledo or wherever they're traveling to on 23.
There are some interesting points here. We've got about 8 minutes left here. It's an interesting election coming up on November the 8th, not only for the county commissioner race, but we've talked a lot in this interview about police and fire. The fire department, city fire department, has a levy on the ballot to build a new fire station. The First Consolidated, I believe, did one a few years ago to put a fire station on 98. That did not go very well. That went down in defeat, by a pretty large margin. Do you think the city has made their case? Do you think that's going to pass, and do you support it?
I do support it in principle. You know, I don't want to outthink the leadership in terms of operations, locations, response times, but definitely I do see the need to get out of that Prospect Street building. I was just up there the other day and had a tour again of the entire facility. I would hate to have to back a piece of equipment in or out of that building. You know, I'd ding the mirrors probably every time myself, Scott, but definitely people are concerned about taxes. You know, I've talked to an awful lot of people that don't feel like they can afford this. You know, just Monday morning quarterbacking some of the promotions for it. I would have liked to have seen more endorsements be publicly made. Signs, I've seen some signs, but I haven't seen like a tremendous number of signs. I just think that I think there was maybe a video produced. I didn't have an opportunity to see the video, but I think that made an argument for why they need a new fire station. Hopefully that was well produced and well crafted, because that can definitely be something that sways voters. But I think Chief Deem's doing a great job at City Fire. You know, he's a very nice man, very, very in touch with what the needs of the department and the men are. You know, also just, I don't know if they brought in expert level consult. You know, I think it's always good to bring in a consultant. If I recall correctly, we brought a consultant in when we built the aquatic center, and that's like a not as big a price tag as a new fire station. So, you know, that may have been a good thing too, just to look at where they're going to put it, response times to all parts of the city. We still haven't alleviated any problems with the tracks on Kenton Avenue, Silver Street on the west side of Marion. That's still kind of a underserved population, in my opinion, that we need to take responsibility for. So, I hope it passes. I'm going to go on record to support it, but again, I think they've still got some logistics issues to work out.
Do you think it'll pass? You support it, but do you think it will?
In the state of the current environment with people's retirement being 20% decreased, probably not.
Want to throw out the Republican-Democrat thing on the next question, just because it's a Marion politician running for a state office. Our mayor's running for state treasurer. We had Nan Whaley on Wednesday, and the reason that was significant, she's running for governor, and right now she's 17 points behind in the latest USA Today poll against Governor DeWine. Down ticket for Democrats running statewide, that does not look good, but who knows? Hope springs eternal for everybody, I guess, in the next 19 days. What do you think is going to happen with our... Do you support the mayor's run for state treasurer?
Sure.
And okay. And I guess the question is here, has he done enough? Do you think he'll pull it off, though? You support it, but do you think he's going to win?
I haven't... I've seen a few yard signs, but I have not really... I don't know what kind of budget you're supposed to spend on an office like that, but I just really feel that... do people know who he is, and how has he differentiated himself from the incumbent? I've thought for a long time that Scott was talented and worthy to move on to a higher office, a different office. I kind of surprised it didn't happen by now, but along with that, I would challenge both the Democrats and the Republicans, start thinking of outstanding individuals to run for mayor. We need to cultivate, groom, mentor people that are interested in this democratic process and find some outstanding mayor candidates on both sides of the aisle.
Do you think the mayor can win this race for treasurer?
I think it's going to be a tough battle. I think in the end of the day, he will not win.
Do you think he'll win Marion County? This is a big... We're a Republican county. I don't remember the last time Marion County voted Democrat as a county for anything. Do you think he can win our county?
That's a good question, Scott. That's a really good question. The way things are kind of dividing right now, I would say probably not.
You mentioned something there kind of interesting, and I want you to speak to the voters before we run out of time here, but the mayor thing. Mayor Schertzer has been mayor for 15 years. If he does not win, he will get another year.
Yes.
I don't know if he'll run again after that. That would be 16 years. That would tie the longest-serving mayor of all time, Jack Kellogg. But Mayor Schertzer's a lot younger than Jack Kellogg was when he retired. People would say, and have said, the Republicans have never ran a really good candidate against Mayor Schertzer. Should he run again? And if he doesn't run again, who are they going to run? And I would ask the Democrats the same question, who are they going to run? But would this ever be something you would be interested in?
Well, being a county resident, right. I would be disqualified, but if I would...
Move into the city,
it's something I would consider, because I think there's a lot of potential to do good in that job, influence people, and grow this city in a really good way, Scott. So, yeah, I would definitely be interested in that.
Who's a Republican, right? Because we're not that far off. As soon as this election's over, that race is going to start. It's next year, the election. Who's the Republican you would want to run for, in office or not right now, for mayor the following year?
I'm going to go on record and say I don't know. I've heard different names floated around within the Republican Party. But as far as somebody that I've latched onto and said, wow, that's a really outstanding candidate, I really couldn't speak to that right now.
A lot of people, I don't know if it's true or not, we've all heard the rumor that Robert Landon might like to run for that office, former treasurer. Would you be supportive of that?
I would not.
Okay. Why should people vote for you come November the 8th?
I think I've got a long history of serving the Marion community. I've been here since 92. I think a lot of people that have gotten to know me really like me. There's that likability factor that's so important. I think they've seen that, I'm definitely someone that can roll up my sleeves, get my hands dirty, work up a sweat, not afraid to ask the hard questions. I'm not necessarily here to make a lot of friends, but I don't want to make a lot of enemies either. I want to be kind of surgical in my technique and get the job done. We have tremendous potential here to grow. We're neighbors with the wealthiest county in the state of Ohio out of 88 counties. Whether we like it or not, there's going to be influence in a good way that's coming towards Marion. We really need to get the infrastructure fixed here. We've got to have roads, sidewalks, streetlights, utilities. And then after that, I think really good things will happen for this town.
We have 30 seconds left. Why wouldn't you support Robert Landon?
I think Robert went through a hard spell as the city auditor, and I think that blemish still remains on him. And I would just not want to take the chance of supporting somebody like that that's already got that blemish and that negativity. I think there's still problems in that office to this day, Scott. And I think it's all a lot of finger pointing is going to go back to Robert, whether it's deserved or not. I think he's a political casualty of what has already happened.
What did you make of the news this week that Republican interim auditor Miranda McGinnis is now an independent, going to run as an independent?
I was honestly kind of shocked by that. I didn't see that coming. I'm not sure the chairman of our party knew that. I think the newspaper asked him for a comment, and I think he was kind of blindsided by that. I don't want to speak for anybody else other than myself, but I'm not sure how to interpret that exactly.
Yeah. Would you support her now that she's an independent? It's an interesting thing.
I'm going to give her a little bit more time to show us what she's capable of. I know they've got some problems right now with what they're dealing with. So if she can pull that out of that, I would definitely support her.
Dr. Mark Davis, he is the Republican nominee for county commissioner coming up on November the 8th. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
Hey, hello everyone. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. You can listen to our show, The Pastor Spot, every week at 9:15 in the morning on Fridays. And you can call in if you have any questions. Maybe you need something we need to pray about. But every week we have a great discussion.